Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. You say you stop.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, attorney Fred Gordon. You know, Fred, I was talking about all of these different things. Let's take gas prices. Now, I don't know what
let's
it is.
Let's take them and make them lower.
Huh?
I said, let's take them and make them lower.
I know, man. You know, Republicans are blaming Joe Biden. And that's the politics of it, right? I mean, that's how this thing works. It didn't matter who would have been in office, what has happened right now with those oil prices has happened before. It's not like we didn't know the oil embargo many years ago that took place. We kind of saw this when you and I were much younger. And so it happens from time to time, and it just so happens that it happened while Joe Biden's in office. He's being blamed for all of it, and it is going to have some political fallout. I don't know what it is down there, man, but it's still somewhere around, you know, on average about $4.70, $4.80 here. And it is having a major effect on
Vegas.
Huh?
I was in Vegas last week, man, and gas prices there have soared to between $6 and $7.
So, Fred,
believe me, I'm acutely aware. In fact, here in North Carolina, things are somewhat stable at this point. It's been that way for a few weeks now, but by the end of the summer, I'm sure we'll be competing with Nevada and other states who are paying $7 to $8 a gallon.
Fred, that's
and you're right, Biden. Biden is being blamed for it because you always blame the big guy, and it's easy to do that.
Fred.
But we understand that. Go ahead.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. It's unsustainable. You know, there are some people who are fortunate in this society that, you know, $7 an hour, for a gallon of gas, they'll just grin and bear it. But others,
we all do.
Their lives are devastated, Fred. You know, people who live on the margin, and they can't. They're barely making it. This destroys the life that they have. They're trying to make it. They're trying to, and they
well,
live on.
Let me pose this to you. I agree with the tenor of what you're saying. But then you have to also understand the class distinctions thereof.
Right.
For example, in the people you just described to me are homeless people. And homeless people are catching hell in America. They don't have any of those things. They don't have cars.
Right.
And in major metropolitan areas, you know, the homeless population is growing by leaps and bounds. So, yeah, those folk are suffering as a result of this, to be sure. Their effect, they don't have homes. And then you go to the next level, and then the next level, and then the next level. So, you know, there are levels of existence at this stage that we have to really focus on. Unfortunately, for the homeless, that is not the tenor of what's happening as far as the focus is concerned. That's why the races in San Francisco and Los Angeles, the cities that are really impacted, just watching the way that they're dealing with the homeless population is exploding. So that's the population that doesn't have that. They don't have gas. They don't have vehicles. They don't have hope. How do we instill hope in the homeless?
You know, Fred, I'm talking about a population that are that are, you know, maybe they're making $30,000 a year, which is a poverty line for a family of three to four. They have a vehicle that is not exactly the best vehicle that there is, but it gives them an opportunity to keep moving and keep trying to be a part of this society. And, you know, I've driven beaters before. I know that there are people who are like that, who are just trying to make it, man. And it gives them an opportunity to get to work and to pick their children up and to go to the grocery store, and the price of gas for them, because they don't have gas efficient cars, they're not homeless, but they are struggling.
Right.
And the impact that But Fred, this is not going away anytime soon. The midterms are coming up. Let's deal with inflation, Fred. We know that the inflation that is causing at the root of most of this is inflation at a 40-year high. You go to the grocery store. It's you and your wife. Imagine going to the grocery store and it's you and your wife and four children. Because, you know, that exists on top of the gas.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. And Fred, these things are devastating. And then there's nowhere for people to turn, Fred. The safety net that used to exist.
The safety net may be unraveling, but it hasn't fallen apart yet. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'll just be honest with you. You know, I think that things can be done on the local level, you know, to try to stem the tide. And I think they are being done. It's difficult. It's not going to be easy. And it's going to be prolonged. You know, we're not going to pull out of this. We're going into a recession. We just have to be honest and deal with it that way.
Right.
And the question now becomes, how do we prepare for that? And it's a very complicated situation, Earl. I don't have an easy answer for it. All I know is that it exists, and we have to work together to try to uplift those folk who are struggling.
So Fred, you're
for example, you know, living here in North Carolina for the last 7 years. You know, I find that the political situations here are similar to Wisconsin. You know, you have a Democratic governor, you have a state house full of Republicans and conservatives, and then you have folks, you know, jockeying for position on the local level. You have a black mayor here, as you do now in Milwaukee. That's a difference, but will it make a difference? We'll have to wait and see. So, you know, yeah, man, things are like the old Temptation song, ball of confusion.
So Fred.
That's what the world is today.
So, Fred,
hey.
What I'm saying is you're a former alderman, so you understand city government. You know the resources that it takes to run city government. You knew at the time when you were an alderman in the city of Milwaukee, there were many more resources than there are now because there were many more corporations that paid taxes. That made sure that, you know, a lot of things that city government is responsible for could happen. But we live in a city right now, like many others, that is stretched to the limit and is not going to be able to even produce what is necessary and what city government was always there for. And so the suffering of, and we talk about the safety net, well, you know, the safety net is nowhere near what it was. And at a time when there are more people struggling, I'm just talking about the city where I live now. And you being able to understand that because, again, you were in city government and knew the resources that were there as opposed to the resources that are here now. We're struggling right now wondering whether or not they're going to be able to even make sure that there are people to pick up the garbage. And because there aren't the resources there because we have a state government that is not willing to give the fair share of the resources back to the city.
That's been the case for years, Earl. That was the case when I was on the city council. The budget for city services is certainly important. It's critical to how the city runs. Now, if city services are going to be affected, then we've got real issues. I've not heard of city services being affected to the extreme at this point. So I'm willing to wait to see what happens on that. But no, the situation with the state, that's always been there. It was there when Tom Barrett was mayor. It was there before Tom Barrett. So do I think that's going to change because of Kevler Johnson being the mayor? I don't know. I don't want to be pessimistic because it's easy to be pessimistic. So I'll just wait and see how it develops. But, you know, the conditions in the city of Milwaukee right now, from what I understand, are developing quite well. My wife just got back from Milwaukee and, you know, she hadn't been there in a few years and she marveled, you know, at what's been going on, certainly in the downtown area.
So,
but, you know, like most central city neighborhoods in most central cities, the central city neighborhoods are suffering.
You know, Fred.
And they will continue to suffer.
You know, Fred, I mean, I'm here every day and I know and I've seen the changes. Because I'm here every day. I haven't gone anywhere in the last 7 years. And when I look at 109 murders, as opposed to the records over the last 2 years, 79 at this time, and see the despair in this city, and especially in the areas of the city where I live, it's hard to be optimistic. You know, and
I understand. It is very hard. It's always been hard to live in Milwaukee County. It's always been hard to live in Milwaukee, particularly if you are of African American descent. And that harshness has not abated. It unfortunately continues, and addressing it is going to be as problematic as it ever has.
And you know what, Fred? I know it's not just Milwaukee. We know it's urban centers across the nation. And that's the issue. Got to go to a break. Hold on. 844-967-2789 is the number. On the line, Fred Gordon, Alderman Fred Gordon. We'll be right back.